is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
This is Brad Bigney, and you're listening to Thrive. What comes to your mind when you think of the word good? Have you reached a point in our world that you just feel like it's so dark, it's so broken, it's so messed up that you can't think of anything good? And would you have ever thought that marriage is still good? When you think of marriage, do you think of words like hard, broken, hurtful, messy? I want to challenge you today that one of the first words that should come to your mind when you think of marriage should still be good. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm Brad Bigney, and we're going to come back to God's Word, which is almost always what we need to do. We've got the culture screaming at us, and we've got our own flesh crying out to us, and then we've got our own thoughts of what we think just feels right to me. Oh, how I thank God for His Word, and I hope you do too. We're going to talk about how marriage is good, and then we're going to move towards how marriage is unlike any other earthly relationship, in that only marriage involves a covenant. Let's talk about good. You realize marriage is a great blessing that was designed by God for our good. Earlier in this series, we talked about, yes, it's for God's glory, and people don't understand the purpose for marriage. Marriage was never designed to simply thrill you and satisfy you and achieve all your dreams. It was designed to be a billboard that puts on display the glory of God, the goodness of His Son, and His love for His bride, the church. But to say that marriage has a purpose that's bigger than us and is for God's glory does not mean that marriage is not a blessing to us. It is. Marriage is a good gift that God gave us. And here's some of the reasons that marriage is good from Scripture. You realize marriage provides companionship and it solves the aloneness problem. Oh, I know we live in a day that thinks it's so connected. We are so connected. At my age, I remember the day that having friends meant you had them in real time. You actually sat with them. You spent time with them. You did not count the number of people that, quote, were your friend online. In-person relationship with another human being is what deeply satisfies the human soul. And God knows that because God created us in His image. Part of being created in the image of God means that we are relational and we long for meaningful relationship. I think most of us found out during the pandemic, right? There are those of us at different points in personalities and wiring who would say, I don't really love people. I'm not charged by being around people. I'm drained by people. But I remember even as I was making phone calls when we were shut down because of COVID, just to check on people and see how they were doing. I'd spend a couple hours each week calling some of our people in the church, especially older people and singles. But I'll never forget the number of people that when I placed a phone call and asking how they were doing, several people literally said, Brad, I found out. I think I actually like people. I miss people. These people that said it were pretty cerebral, you know, computer designers and philosophers and yada, 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 yada. But even those people said to me, I realize I miss people. That's because we're created in the image of God. He's a relational being. The triune or the Trinity is a relational being. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are persons who have a relationship and commune with each other. And He created us in His image. And so marriage, One of the biggest components of marriage is that it solves the aloneness problem. God looked at Adam by himself and said, it's not good. Book of Genesis, it's not good that man should be alone. And he created Eve, a woman. Oh, marriage solves the aloneness problem. And I know people are afraid of it today. They've grown up in homes where they've seen divorce. As a kid, they watched the fallout of divorce. They don't trust like they wish they could trust because they've seen that people they thought they could count on for a lifetime, they can't. But oh, listen to me, when you pull back from marriage and you say, I don't want to take the risk, I don't want to go there, I could get hurt, you miss out. Right now, data is showing, real data from secular researchers are showing countries that are delaying marriage and in fact don't get around to marriage, don't think they need marriage, are finding there's an epidemic of loneliness. Even teenagers today that are some of the most, quote, connected people on the planet with their cell phones are epically lonely. It's a pandemic of loneliness because we were created to be in the presence of another human being. Is there a risk? Could you get hurt? Absolutely. Is there a blessing that you could miss out on if you pull back from it? Absolutely. It's good because, number one, it solves the aloneness problem. It provides companionship. Secondly, marriage is good because it facilitates sexual expression and purity. We're going to talk about that more in detail later in the series, but I want to put it on your radar now. It facilitates sexual expression. God is not embarrassed by our bodies or ashamed of sexuality. It's not like he created men and women and then we thought of sexuality. No, no, no. This is part of God's good gift. He delights in sexuality in the context of marriage. Right now in my Bible reading, I read through the whole Bible every year, and right now I'm in the Song of Solomon. And it's all about the sexual, physical relationship of a husband and wife. And it is absolutely delightful. In fact, it's racy. You realize the Jews did not even let their kids read the Song of Solomon until they were 12 years old. If you haven't read it, stop what you're doing. Hit pause right now and pick it up because, whoo, it's pretty exciting. God is not ashamed of it. It's a good gift that he gave us, sexual expression in the context of marriage. Not out there all over the place doing it however you want, but in the context of marriage, it's good. And number three, marriage facilitates the gift of procreating children. And children are a good, good gift. Notice how as our culture spins further and further away from God and his ways and his thoughts and his word, notice what keeps happening. People are down on marriage. They don't want to get married. People are down on kids. They don't want to have kids. Both of these endeavors will cost you. Yes. Both involve risk. Yes. But both are oh so worth it. Marriage is good because it provides companionship, it provides sexual expression, and it provides the gift of children. But not only is marriage good, you realize marriage is good because it was designed to expose us and help us to grow spiritually, to become more like Christ. Here's what I wish more people realized. People tend to think in terms of, oh, I dated, I looked for the right person, I read a few books, I took some personality tests, I prayed, and then I married someone. Done. End game. Oh my goodness. That's not how you should be thinking. Marriage is not a stopping point. It's a starting point. That wedding ceremony is not the closing chapter. It's the beginning of the real work of becoming more like Christ. God intends to use our marriage to bless us by helping us become more like Christ. But that only starts by seeing where you fall short. And so marriage exposes us. There's nothing quite living at close quarters with another human being that pushes to the surface our weaknesses, our sin, our deficiencies, some of our ways that have been a part of who we are for perhaps a lifetime that are less than God glorifying, and it all comes to a head in this thing called marriage, not so that you would be miserable, not so that the two of you would go to war against each other, but so that you could grow and say, all right, here we go, God, let's grow. Marriage is designed to help each person grow in holiness. One of my favorite marriage books is by Gary Thomas. The title alone signals something that we need to understand better. His title is Sacred Marriage. Subtitle, What If God Designed Marriage to Make Us Holy More Than to Make Us Happy? That's a rhetorical question, because the answer is bingo. He designed marriage to make us holy. Guess what? As you become more holy, you will experience happiness. But when you make happiness your goal, you will not end up being holy or happy. The main design and intent for marriage was to expose us so that we could begin to grow and become more like Jesus Christ, our Savior. He doesn't just want to save us. He wants to change us to be more like our Savior. I'm Brad Bigney, and this is Thrive. And we're talking about how marriage is still good. In a day that disses marriage, in a day that steps away, in a day that's so afraid and sees it as antiquated and unnecessary, it is still good. When we come back, we're going to talk about what makes this relationship distinct and unique from every other human relationship.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney in just a moment with the second half of this episode. And you know, I was just thinking, is it amazing how marriage has this way of exposing exactly who we are? Not who we think we are, but really who we are. I want to tell you about Dr. Greg Giffords, another of our fellows. His book, Hearts and Habits, just like Pastor Brad was just talking about marriage not being a stopping point, but a starting point for becoming more like Christ. Well, that's exactly what Dr. Gifford digs into, how God uses our habits and helps us change for good. Not just surface level behavior stuff, but real heart transformation. And let's be honest, like I said, marriage has a way of showing us just how much transformation we need. I would recommend you picking up Hearts and Habits by Dr. Greg Giffords. You can find it right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of transformation, I don't know if you've signed up and checked out the Fortis Plus app yet, but I really, really encourage you to do so. It's absolutely free. It's not a subscription model. You get 7 pieces of new content added every single day. You can find it all on Fortis Plus right now by going to fortisplus.org or downloading the Fortis Plus app from your app store. You know, we're living in a brave new world, and that requires a brave new response. That's why we've transformed from Gospel Partners Media into Fortis Institute. 8 new theologically sound voices that you hear at Fortis Plus, they help equip you to navigate these challenging times. People like Pastor Brad Bigney, Tim Challies, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. John Kreutz, and a whole host of other guys are here to help equip you. And if you want to stay connected, just become a Fortis Insider. Head over to the website again at fortisinstitute.org and sign up. Costs nothing. Just give us your email. And 5 days a week, we'll send you that email with an update on all of the content that's just been added for that day. And hey, speaking of great content, you've got to check out Integrated with Pastor John Kreutz. You heard me mention him just a moment ago. He's helping Christians connect the dots between Bible knowledge and real life application. Check out Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, because as Brad just showed us, there's often a gap between what we know and how we live. And listen, we can't do this alone. We need you, and we would love it if you would prayerfully consider partnering with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner as we equip the local church to thrive in this brave new world. Just visit fortisinstitute.org to learn more about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And now let's get back to Pastor Brad as he continues to unpack God's design for marriage. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Well, this is Thrive, and we're talking about how marriage is still a good gift, one of God's best gifts. And one of the reasons it's good is that it exposes us at close range with another human being, not just so that we would be exposed and be put to shame and be miserable, but that we could begin to grow. See, you never get to a better place until you get honest about where you actually are. We have higher opinions of ourselves than should be true, that don't match reality. One of the things that marriage does is it's a reality check. It brings you back into focus to realize, wow, I'm not as whatever, you fill in the blank. I'm not as loving. I'm not as patient. I'm not as forbearing. I'm not as selfless as I thought I was. Ooh. And we tend to say, well, she just makes me, or he makes me. Oh, no, no. Nobody makes you anything. They expose us. So one of the good gifts about marriage is that it exposes us to help us grow and become more like Christ. I was talking about Gary Thomas's book that I love titled Sacred Marriage. Listen to what he says. He says, to spiritually benefit from marriage, we have to be honest. We have to look at our disappointments, own up to our ugly attitudes, and confront our selfishness. We also have to rid ourselves of the notion that the difficulties of marriage can be overcome if we simply pray harder or learn a few simple principles. Why is this? Because there's a deeper question that needs to be addressed beyond how can we improve our marriage. What if God didn't design marriage to be easier? What if God had an end in mind that went beyond our happiness, our comfort? What if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy? Oh, he's exactly right. I love reading books. I read about 40 or 50 books a year. I love studying. I love going to conferences and learning. But guess what? Nothing has had a greater effect on my life in making me more like Christ than my marriage. Absolutely. There's not even a close second, because it's marriage that exposed Brad Bigney and showed who he really is, not who he thought he was. Oh, listen, I was voted most likely to succeed in high school. I was president of the National Honor Society. I succeeded in most everything I laid my hand to, and then I got married, and it all hit the fan, and I was like, what? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with her? What's going on with her? It was the first time ever that I'd been confronted with a view of me that was less than glorious. But oh, listen to me. It has led to a measure of ongoing growth into being more like Christ like I'd never experienced before. Oh, I had a lot of head knowledge. I had information. But what has happened through our marriage has been personal transformation. Brad Bigney has changed. Now, it hasn't been easy. It's been painful. Oh, so painful. But oh, so worth it. So worth it. Some of you right now, you might be listening thinking, I don't think it'd be worth it. Yes, it is. It is. The misery you're in right now as you dig in your heels and refuse to recognize what God's trying to show you about you could come to an end. You'd have to lean into some things that were new. And oh, you could experience a place that perhaps you've never been before in your marriage, with an awareness of who you truly are as a person and areas that you need to grow like never before. Marriage is good. It solves the aloneness problem. Marriage helps us grow to become more like Christ. Let me give you a third thing that makes it good. And it might sound odd at first. Marriage is good because it was never designed to fully satisfy us. So it pushes us to what we should look to ultimately for full satisfaction. See, very often we cling to the things of this world, whether it's kids, friends, image, food, success, fame, work, you name it. And it's only after we grab onto something that we thought would fully satisfy and we experience deep disappointment that we then and only then begin to say, huh, why isn't this satisfying like I thought it would? Is there something else I should be looking to? Yep, there is. You realize God gave us marriage and it's good, but he did not design marriage to fully satisfy you. In fact, there's a measure of futility that's still present in the best Christian marriage. Here's a mistake that Christians make. They think, oh, as long as I marry a Christian, it'll be glorious, blissful. No problems. Just marry another Christian. When you marry another Christian, you still married a selfish, self-centered sinner. They still have this body of flesh to contend with, and they are more selfish and sinful than they even recognize, and so are you. So just marrying a Christian isn't going to eliminate conflict or frustration. There's a measure of futility that's still present in the best of Christian marriages. And that's because of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is one of the most well-known, famous, favorite chapters in all the Bible. It leads in, you know, in Romans 8, chapter 1. Yeah, let me start over. It leads in verse 1 with saying, oh, it's glorious. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Ho-ho! Then he goes on to talk about glorious things we have in Christ, and he sticks the landing towards the end, talking about there is nothing, neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor angels. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But in the middle of Romans 8, I think is one of the most neglected passages in the Bible where he talks about, check it out, it's Romans 8 from about verse 20 to 26. He talks about frustration. He talks about groaning in this world, that we will groan and you will be frustrated, even as a Christian. So Christian groaning is not wrong because you long for something better. So your marriage is groaning. Your kids are groaning. Your job is groaning. Your church is groaning. And if we recognize that, I think it would help us let up on the people around us. They will not fully satisfy. So even in this podcast, Thrive, I'm not expecting to get the husbands to be such glorious husbands and the wives to be such glorious wives. There will just be unlimited happiness because of the two of you. I hope husbands will grow. I hope wives will grow. But here's what I also hope. I hope both of you will know that your spouse was never designed to fully satisfy you. If you are just looking to them on a horizontal level to meet all your needs and fulfill your deepest longings, you will be frustrated. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope." Romans 8, 23 and 26 says, "Not only they," talking about the creation around us, this groaning, "but also we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Even in a Christian marriage that is growing and is a blessing and is good, there will be some groaning. There will be times you just have to say, "Wow, I wish that still was better. But thank you, Lord, for what I have. And I know what I have that's coming. And my relationship with Jesus is better and is deeply satisfying. So I groan in hope and gratitude for what I have." C.S. Lewis captured it well when he said, "If I find within myself a desire which no experience in this world can fully satisfy," that includes marriage. "Oh, I thought marriage would do it. If I could just get married, if I just married the right person." No, that nothing in this world fully satisfies. The most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Yes, you were, and so was I. We were made for another world. You realize Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He's placed eternity in our hearts." And what that means is nothing in this world will fully satisfy. What this means, takeaway for your marriage right now, if you're listening and you're married, you will love your spouse best when you love God most, when you long for and love God most. You will love your spouse best. In fact, you don't want your spouse to make you the number one thing in their life. That's not a compliment. "Oh, you are number one. You mean more to me than anything in this world." Oh, no, 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 no. You don't want to hear that. You always want to be number two. Love for God always has to be ultimate, and your marriage secondary, because that longing and love for God, where you taste and are deeply satisfied in Him, becomes the well from which you dip and are able to give and love another human being in this thing called marriage. You'll love your spouse best when you keep loving and longing for God most. I'm Brad Bigney, and you're listening to Thrive. How could we take our marriages from just survive to thrive?
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.